The top story today is that this incredibly tragic situation that happened at Disney World in Orlando, where an alligator dragged a toddler into water on the Disney property. And now the remains of that toddler have been found and tentatively identified as that of the toddler. And I think it shocks everybody because you stop and you think that Disney World is one of those places where, well, that kind of thing couldn't happen there,
sure,
right?
That's exactly what you think. You think everything is perfect and pristine and a utopia.
But this is the outdoors, and there are wild animals, and it is Florida. And Jack Hanna is joining us, the director emeritus of the Columbus Zoo and host of Jack Hanna's Into the Wild and Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown, two great shows that I watch every Saturday morning like a little kid.
Mm-hmm, I do, too.
Yeah.
Love Jack Hanna.
So, Jack, obviously, this is a situation where, it's not expected, but these alligators that get into these open water areas that would be on a theme park or wherever they happen to be, it's almost impossible to stop them because you're cut into natural areas where they're going to be able to get in.
So you I've done a lot of interviews today, but you've kind of hit the nail on the head there, because the alligator, especially this time of year, spring and summer, are going into breeding kind of programs. Number one, number two, a gator can go 6 months to a year without eating. And also, Disney is located out there where Walt Disney, who I admire him, and these parks, as you just said, it's no safer place in the world. Matter of fact, if you look at the numbers, you can win the lottery or get hit by lightning before this would happen. You know, gator is not after people. Understand something. The gator is not after people. They're afraid of people. Having filmed them all over the world, as well as crocodiles, wherever they exist, witnessing some of the things I have, you're right. These gators can walk down roads. They can go through pipes. They can do whatever, you know. In Disney, by the way, the Game of Fish, those guys have already said this. They are called, and other people, that when they have gators come in there, they get them out. They do not sit there and feed gators like, you know, some people might. But Disney does not do that. They're in an area that has the wild animals. It's almost like trying to control a bird of prey if you have chickens. I live in Montana part-time. I like my chickens. I had to put them up because some birds of prey come down and get them. You can't avoid that. You can't avoid the gators. And this is one of those incidents. I just, all day, you know, I'm involved in some of these kind of things, and both where I film all over the world, as well as zoological parks. And this one is a tough one. I mean, it's the father, God rest his soul, because he did everything he could. The gator clamps down with power like you don't even believe.
That's what I was just so. That's a part of the story too that just was additionally horrifying, that this father tried to save his child,
right.
And I can only imagine. But I saw you quoted saying the jaws are so strong of this particular animal that he couldn't have released his grip. It would have been impossible. Is that right?
Correct. There's no way. I have worked with researchers trying to handle gators, doing research on them, like a two, even a three-footer. Are you kidding me? It's hard, and I'm a pretty big guy. It's hard for me. I'm sure some people can, but I couldn't hold this three-footer. I mean, these animals, for example, the animal has the location. They're sensing vibrations underwater. Some people say it can go up to 1 mile. So let's say the gator is in the pond. The child is with the dad, stomping his feet, just walking through there. All of a sudden, that to him is some kind of a prey. Do you follow me? They don't know. Mm-hmm. They're like a submarine. Those little eyeballs stick at the top of the water there, you don't even see the eyeballs most of the time. All of a sudden, he sees this, goes down in the water. It's like a rocket. When they go underwater, it's like a bullet going off. Mm-hmm. They can outrun any man in the first 20 feet. I mean, that may sound minor to you, but when you're on land and people try and, like, golf courses have them, even neighborhoods in Florida, dig, you know, the ponds and beautiful lakes around the neighborhoods there, and they have gators in them. And they're taught, you know, not to, you know, they know that, but it's not a matter that Disney takes care of their gators right away with the Game and Fish Commission of Florida, which is one of the finest in the country, by the way, and Disney being one of the best parks, the best park in the world. This is something, is one of those freak things, as I said before, you'll get hit by lightning or win the lottery before a gator would ever do this to you.
Well, I mentioned this earlier. I've seen this on a golf course. I've seen a gator get up and move on land.
Ooh. Right.
And they go fast. And when they're on land, you know, you think of them slithering. They don't. They stand up. Their arms extend out like a dog. And then all of a sudden they start to move. And you cannot believe the speed at which they're moving. If they're going after something or trying to get from one place to the other, and they're worried. They're trying to get to something or away from something. And in this case, it was away from something. And this thing just took off. And I was just, because you always hear that, and you think, well,
to see it though, something else must be frightening.
It reminds you that these are very, 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 you know, people, golfers go up to them all the time, right? Mm-hmm. They go up and they want to get a picture, they want to take a picture of them, or their ball's near them, and they go, they're never going to bother me.
Oh, gosh, really? You see that?
Oh, all the time.
And they're scared out of my mind.
you know, I love listening to him because you're one of the few. I've done all these interviews today. You're one of the first ones, if not the first one, one other person that has seen that happen. You know, it's so sad that what you are saying is exactly right. You have witnessed it, so you can sit on the phone. When I tell people they can outrun a human being in 15 to 20 feet, or more than that, probably a little bit.
Yeah,
you saw it yourself, and it's frightening, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How fast they go.
Oh my God!
There's a reason they've been around since the time of the dinosaurs, too. Yes. Because I mean, these guys they've developed some skills over the years.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, Jack, I thought was interesting is today we both took note of this actually when we were listening to that news conference. Authorities in Orlando said that the child's body was found intact, and I didn't know. What does that mean? Does it mean that it was found in the brush? The boy was found in the brush along the side of the lagoon. Does that mean this alligator gave up on it? Or what happened there?
Well, that's a great question. I just found this out myself an hour ago, and I listened to the thing on the phone, the news conference. As you said, I was going to say that I don't know if they'll find the body. From what I've witnessed, for example, in Africa where I filmed there a lot, or in Asia, or Sumatra, whatever it is, mm-hmm. The point is, people go down to wash their clothes in the streams, you know, or the rivers, and then that's where the gators wait. And then when it happens, you see a lot of this happening, not a lot, some of it happening in that part of the world because crocodiles are a lot more aggressive than alligators. And that I was surprised that they did, though, you know, I guess the family, not guess, I'm just thinking about if I was a family, mm-hmm. that they now have found the child, I guess intact, what they said.
Yeah.
I'm puzzled by it right now. I'm trying to find out, but I made some calls already. Why that might have been, because I must say I would have been wrong, because I said to myself, well, I don't know if they'll find the child. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong. So I don't know why he would have let go of the child. Obviously, the child drowned. I don't know why the gator did that, unless there was other gators trying to come on board, too, or to try and take something from him. I don't know whether that was a story or not, because it was a large gator, not extremely large gator by any means. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what made him drop that, other than maybe all the people coming in the water after him or something like that. You know, what was happening?
Who,
I don't know exactly what was happening then.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because that struck me as well, is that the intact part, mm-hmm. and you would just imagine that wouldn't be the case. And that they're continuing to look for gators who would be involved in this. And then if they don't have anything, I mean, we don't know for sure. And I think that the details of this obviously are something that probably they want to keep internally in the investigation. And I certainly understand the reason for that. But it seems to me that you know, in terms of stomach contents, which is what they would be looking at here to identify whether that gator was involved, they say they continue to go through and look to see. And at this point, they don't believe that any of the gators that they have been able to capture and euthanize and investigate are related to this incident, but they're also finding so many more. And as you point out, Jack, it's breeding season for the alligators, and so and that's something that reminds us about how these populations can grow. And then all of a sudden, the populations have decided, all right, well, now how do we expand, or where's our food supply going to come from?
Right, and the gators start looking for it. They could actually go down through pipes, as I said, down the roads. They want to walk. How do you keep out, as I said, the birds of prey that might want to, the birds aren't doing the same, they're doing what's natural. So it's a matter that Disney, though, tries to control that. They've said this, and I know for a fact Disney works with them to control the gators that come on their property. And obviously some of them got in there that, you know, might not have seen or something. I'm not trying to defend anybody. I'm just saying, you know, that's a huge place. Now, that place is a major city by itself.
Yeah, it is.
Much less trying to figure out, you know, what happens at nighttime.
So are there any additional measures that Disney can take, or that you now think that they will take? Is there anything?
Well, right
more?
Now, I think what they'll do now is obviously have some, even though they have 24-hour security, it's amazing there already.
It is.
But I'm sure they'll try and go ahead and look around the whole property and see ways to stop it, if they can stop it. That's not something, though, that could probably be done. But, you know, nature's nature. But there might be just a rule that you can't go down there, put a little thing up, and can't go in the water at all, get near the water.
Right,
That type of thing.
Yeah,
Children can't read. Children can't read signs. Obviously, parents can. So you know, you don't.
Jack, couldn't the alligator come out of the water a few feet anyway? The no swimming signs, is that enough? I mean, I don't know.
They can come out of the water. That's what it seems like what happened. I mean, they came in the water. He was in the water, I guess, up to his. Some people say his ankles, some people say knees. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they usually act. And when you see him in the wild, going after something, it's usually the ones that are getting an animal, getting a drink, and it's got his front feet in the water or whatever it might be, not swimming in the water, by the way. It's mostly right that type of, you know, atmosphere that happens when you get it just splashing in that water. Let's put it that way. They're not after a person. They run for most people, by the way.
Yeah.
A gator does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
No, but when they're hunting,
and they want don't want to be
a different situation.
And it is interesting because the ones that are sort of born and raised around people, they're in those. Those pods. I don't. Do you call them pods? I mean, I'm not sure what you call alligator groups, but
a family of alligators, I guess.
Family, right? Because then they're kind of used to having that external issue of people around them. Hey, since we have you on the phone, can I just ask you very quickly? Because obviously, you're a Central Ohio guy, and you're a guy that's been with the Columbus Zoo for decades upon decades, and built that into one of the great zoological institutions in the country. What do you make of what happened in Cincinnati? Do you there's been such an argument about their reaction. And this is a human being that was, whether imperiled or not, it's unclear. But you can't take a risk, can you?
No, I'll answer this question. We did 40 something interviews in like 30 something hours all over this country and throughout Canada and everywhere else. The point is, it's not simple, but it is simple. And I don't like the word expert for Jack Hanna. I don't use that word. However, the Columbus Zoo has one of the largest collections of lowland gorillas in the world. I also have a little house in Rwanda where the mountain gorilla lives, which is a lot bigger than the lowland gorillas. I just filmed in Gabon in West Africa a year and a half ago. I just filmed the lowland gorillas in that country in the jungles. And then, of course, the mountain gorillas live up at very high altitudes, and there's only 800 or 900 left in the world. The lowland gorillas, they say, there are 200,000 left, which I don't agree with that because I can't see there's 200,000. And obviously, you heard the media, they go, the critically endangered lowland gorilla. Yes, it's endangered, not critically. When the animal's 200,000, I don't use the word critical, but that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is, if you've seen them like I have, the miniature, I knew Diane Fossey, The Gorillas of the Mist, the book and the movie. Mm-hmm. I knew her when she was alive. I have a little home that's only 2.5 miles from where the mountain gorillas live, so I don't tell you how many times I've been up there to not just study them, but to take people up there that want to see them. I'm on the board of the Mountain Gorilla Veterinary Project, so I have seen the results. When a gorilla, another silverback, tries to take over the old man to take his family, you wouldn't even want to witness that fight. You wouldn't even want to understand on the phone here what you would see. You would see loss of limbs. You would see chunks of meat when it comes to gorillas. When they do fight each other, it is unbelievable. However, the lowland gorilla obviously lives in jungles. It makes no difference. They're still the gorilla species. So when you all remember when that chimp got loose in Japan about several months ago and went up in the power lines. It's all over the news. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't remember it. Well, the guy took a bucket truck to go up there and tranquilize it. He's in the wires of electrical wires, like a repairman does. He shot the chimp with a tranquilizer dart. The chimp goes. You had to pull in the picture. His mouth wide open. He's going to bite that guy's head off. So you got the gorilla in the moat, let's say, which is the big old silverbacks in there. His females, his family, leaves and go inside the building with the emergency call. He didn't do that. They went in there. It's a thing we've trained in zoos where the animals go inside if something's wrong. All of a sudden, the females go inside there. He's in the moat with this thing that plopped in the moat. He doesn't know what's happening because people are screaming their guts out up there, screaming and everything. So this gorilla, male gorilla, silverback, is totally confused. Then he drags him through the water, right? You saw that. Everybody did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, all you got to do is look at that gorilla's face. That's all you got to do. That gave it away to me, just like that chimp in the CNN or CNN, whatever, who I was doing. I don't know whoever cares it was or who knows who I talked to on that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that gorilla was upset. I can know that because of the times I've had to work with the gorillas. Now, let's say they said tranquilize a gorilla. Okay, when you tranquilize a gorilla with a dart, like a rhino or any animal like that, it's a dart that goes there. And what would you do if you're sitting there talking to me? All of a sudden you get popped with a dart in your butt or your arm or whatever it might be where they tranquilize the animal. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to go to sleep, number one. Number two, he's got the child's arm. All of a sudden this thing hits him in the butt that hurts. What do you think the gorilla's going to do? Say, oh, excuse me? No. What's going to happen is something you wouldn't even want to witness.
Yeah.
There is no choice on this one.
Well, that's
and I will bet, some people say, I'll bet my life on this. I will bet my life on this one, on the gorillas thing. They did the right thing. They had to do it. If not, you'd have had a mess on your hands. That child would not even be able to be recognized, probably.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. Always great talking to you.
Well, no, thanks for knowing about animals like you do. I appreciate your knowledge.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. And you can see Jack, of course, and Jack Hanna's Into the Wild and Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown.